Welcome to the Breach Podcast, a Charlie Mike production. I'm Ty Braxton, and I just want to say thank you for taking the time to listen in today. I discuss issues surrounding us and how to build our faith and strengthen our walk with the Lord. I want to provide you with tools so that you can Charlie Mike. Charlie Mike is better understood as continue mission, and I want you to be able to Charlie Mike in your own mission field. And before we get started, hit the like button, subscribe, and hit the bell notification so you can be notified of future videos that I post. And also check out our shop. The link will be in the description below. And if you'd like to partner with me and donate, that information will be in the description as well. So we're going to start a series called Banners that I've put together. It might be three episodes or four parts of the series. I'm not quite sure yet, but banners are mentioned in the Bible a few times. They can also be referred to as standards that can be set up or that need to be set up. And you'll see a few of these in the book of Isaiah that are applied for different parts of the scripture for different circumstances. But this one in Isaiah 62:10 is a great challenge for us today because it calls us to get up from the pews and out of the church building and into the lives of people everywhere around us so we can fulfill the great commission that came from Jesus himself. In Isaiah 62:10, it says, go through the gates, prepare the way for the people, build up the highway, take out the stones, lift up a banner for the people. I'm going to start off by saying I love seeker churches. Now, I know a few of you immediately when I said that thought that I said I love seeker-friendly churches. I do not. I mean churches that will raise the banner of war and go to war against the principalities that have created a way for people to accept bondage. I'm not talking about churches that put on a show or invite people to church. Breaking news, a church building is not the only place God can move. In fact, the church body never really had church buildings if you look in Scripture. They were normally at people's houses so the body of Christ could flow and not be hindered. And I'm not going to get into all that today, but I do want people to know that being a part of a church, a corporate church, is not a bad thing. I'm not saying that. As long as we are not neglecting doing life together like they did in the early church. It's a place you can be discipled, and you can't disciple a few hours a month, or let's just say one day a year. Because if you're only meeting once a month for a couple of hours, 2 times 12 is 24. That's 24 hours in a year. That's ridiculous. 24 hours a year of what the New Testament church was doing all the time. But let's get back on track. I need to stop chasing squirrels. I'm talking about churches that go out and fight for liberation among the people to regain territory. Those are the seeker churches because they go seek the people instead of trying to get people to seek the church building. So I can't stand seeker-friendly churches. And the reason why is, hear me out, because I know there are some people yelling at their computer or about to throw their phone just because I said that. And because the reason people seek out seeker-friendly churches is because most of the time, not all the time, many people seek out these buildings because from the pulpit and from other like-minded members of that church, they will find affirmation for their sin. They aren't seeking Jesus and the change that follows after an encounter with him and an encounter with his love. They remain comfortable and accepted no matter what life they are living, and those churches don't preach repentance. These people come as they are, and that's wonderful, but they leave the same way they arrived. They don't leave changed. Now, the reason they do this is sin feels good, and our flesh doesn't care about eternal things because our flesh isn't going into eternity with us. We don't want to crucify the flesh because we are too busy honoring it. We want to follow our feelings that justify the flesh, and that's why the word is rejected, because the word goes contrary to our flesh and our feelings. In Galatians 5:17, it says, "For the flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish." So even if our flesh desires to do something, if you are led by the Holy Spirit, then the Spirit helps us to not do those things of the flesh, because the flesh battles against the fruit of the Spirit, which is listed in Galatians 5:22 later on from the verse we just read. And one of those is self-control. Then in verse 24, it says, "And those who are Christ's have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Now, this is why Paul says we need to die daily and why we should be a living sacrifice. We sacrifice our flesh daily so that we can continue living for Christ and walk in the Spirit, since that is what we are being led by. The Bible helps guide our lives, not just tell us that God loves us, but the Bible shows us how we need to live. We must get our eyes off of ourselves. And that's really difficult a lot of times, because we are in a society that says, look out for number one and do what's best for you. Do what makes you happy. These are all counter scripture. We need to get our eyes off the ability of man. We don't get to heaven because of good works. So let me ask you a question. If you appear before God in heaven and he asks you why you were in heaven, we really can't give an answer other than what the thief on the cross must have said. Because the man on the cross, the thief on the cross, didn't have any doctrine or understanding. But the man in the middle cross said, I could come here. It's only because of what Jesus did that we get to go to heaven. And that does not excuse us from being set apart to do good works. We still must do these things that do not get us into heaven. To share the gospel, an act that does not get us to heaven. To heal the sick and cast out demons, which we see in Scripture, does not get us into heaven. Or walk in spiritual gifts that also do not get us to heaven. We must walk in these things because we desire them because of the man on the middle cross. But he gets us there because his blood covers us, not the things the Holy Spirit did through us. If we don't preach the cross to ourselves on a daily basis, we will think that self can get us to heaven. And the whole point of this is we're trying to get away from self. But that is the very thing that needs to die daily. It is not because I did anything. It is not because you did anything, but it is because he died for me and he died for you. And I loved him in such a way to show gratitude by believing without seeing, that my faith was proven by dying to self and living for him. Now, I don't do what I used to do. I don't do what the world says is okay to do, but I live different. I try to follow the instructions of the Bible with a transformed heart that tells me that I can't be selfish and just do whatever I want. The Bible tells us what we need to pick up, and it tells us what we need to give up, because I need to be set apart for him, because he made a way. And it is my job to prepare the way for him to return. I need to pick up my cross. So I'm sure you've heard this question asked numerous times in numerous locations by numerous people. If you were to die tonight, where would you go? So ask yourself, where would you go if you died tonight? Think about that. But I don't want to stop with that question like many other Christians do. Because the problem with that question is it leaves out a key component of the Christian life. It leaves out the Christian life. They think salvation is a destination, but it is a race. It is not something you receive and then, oh, I'm going to heaven and I'm good. That's it. That's all I have to do. Or maybe just show up to church every week. It is a race, a constant daily race. We must die to self daily. After salvation, Jesus says, not only drop your nets like he did to the disciples, but he says, follow me. So in that life, in that salvation, in that race, you have to run, sometimes walk, and sometimes crawl, but you must keep moving forward. But don't ever think that because you are moving forward, that will get you to heaven. We get to heaven because of grace and mercy, but remember, we must die to our selfish desires, because grace and mercy are not a license to sin or a license to do the bad works. God loving you won't keep you out of hell. Only the blood can do that. So what does that look like? You will be salt and light. Salt preserves righteousness and light dispels darkness. Don't get distracted. People are so focused on being in the church when the doors are opened, but don't have the same focus on being the church when the church doors are closed. people that don't have that focus or have that mindset forget that the doors of the world are always open, but we are too busy either standing outside, being confused about what being set apart means. It means living apart in the midst of the world. Or they're too busy standing in the world in agreement with the world. Jesus said, go into all the world, not to conform to it. We worry a whole lot about what our obedience will produce or the blessings we receive, but we forget about the cost. What if the cost is the blessing? What if the opportunity to lay it all down and sacrifice all is the blessing? What if that is what we are supposed to imitate? As Paul says, after going through all his trials and tribulations, he says, imitate me after giving it all up and going through the hardships. Imitate me. And that's not a very good recruiting method, but it's honest. And it's something that we need to take into consideration if we really want to walk this walk. We had a guest speaker come in earlier this month, Jessica Sluter. And she said, Jesus inhabits the praises of his people, not our agendas, not our programs, our religion, our theology, our pride, or complacency, our composure, our excuses, but he inhabits the praises of his people. Praise builds a highway that allows the glory and manifestation of the Lord to enter in. The strength of your praise determines the intensity and length that he dwells. Our flesh never wants to cross over, but our spirit does. But that's why we have to put it into submission. The flesh is weak, so it doesn't have what it takes. So we need to put it into submission. So pretty much, don't go along just to get along. We need to be set apart. And we probably need to be set apart from most Christians. It says be set apart from the world, but honestly, if we look at the lives of many Christians, we probably need to be set apart from them as well. Even when things are going wrong, we need to be praying and praising. Even when things are hard, don't just go along to get along. When bad things do happen, don't just ask why, turn your why into worship. Stop waiting until you are fixed, until you are living right, because you cannot live right outside of God's will, outside of relationship with God. Stop trying to say that the devil is keeping you from coming to God. Stop making excuses on why you can't come to God. When a man in the Bible, when full of demons, a legion of demons, ran to Jesus, he didn't wait till the demons were gone. He didn't wait till his life was getting better or on track. He ran to Jesus full of demons. Deliverance frees us from bondage, but not from battles. In fact, you will inherit more battles if you surrender your life to Christ. Be a hearer of the word, but not only a hearer, but a doer of the word, as it says in the book of James. In Matthew 5:13, Jesus said, you are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. So what you are chasing after will reveal what you are willing to compromise. If you chase God, you will compromise the worldly desires. Those will be compromised. You don't care if you lose the world, but if you are chasing the desires of the world, you will compromise your relationship with Jesus because you are telling him to take a back seat. So here's the part where we start talking about carrying the banner for Christ. How about we go into the throne room and surrender our lives and leave our comfortable lifestyles instead of asking Jesus to leave his spot by the throne? He already left his life once in heaven, and you want him to come into your heart so you won't have to surrender. You want Jesus instead of the Holy Spirit because you don't want to put forth the effort to use the spiritual gifts. We don't want to go against the world, so we want Jesus to leave heaven and come to earth instead of bringing heaven to earth. The church building is not the banner. The church body is. Wherever we go, the banner should be recognizable because when you start taking territory, people will see that ground is being gained, and they will see what kingdom is truly advancing. And they will rally to it, just like troops will rally to a banner. Not the banner of that individual, but of the kingdom banner that is being flown. We Christians are all signs and banners and where we live will tell everyone around us a lot about the King we serve. We are ambassadors who walk in the authority of Christ, who gave us that authority. It doesn't come from us, but it comes with us everywhere we go. Will we use it? Or will we tell everyone that our King doesn't work today, but only in Bible times? Because we don't know what is expected of us in Scripture because we don't ever open it. You need to get in the Word because it tells you where you need to go and what you need to do and where the banner needs to be flown. Remember, you don't find your identity in sin. You find it in the Savior. And you don't live and find your identity in the praises of people. Because if you do, you will die by the same people's criticisms. So when we set ourselves apart in the identity that Christ gives us, people will notice and see the banner of the Lord in our lives. One of the biggest ways people will see us as set apart and a part of the kingdom is the banner in which we fly and represent. And we will see that on next week's episode for part two of Banners. If you haven't surrendered your life to Christ and are ready to come to God, I would like to lead you in a prayer in just a moment. But first, I want to be clear. Praying a sinner's prayer is not a ticket into heaven. These are not magic words. You must follow Christ and live for Him. You cannot receive salvation by your own merits, but by what Jesus has already done. Ask to receive the Holy Spirit, to be filled and experience what God has for you. You will not live the same life or be able to keep Jesus to yourself if you become a Christ follower. 1 John 2:4 tells us that the one who says, "I have come to know Him," and does not keep His commandments is a liar. Those commandments are to love God and to love others. If you love God, you will follow Him, and if you truly love others, you will want others to experience God and give their lives to Him as well. So if you are ready to pray, pray this. God, I ask for forgiveness. I believe Jesus died for me, and nothing I have done wrong is too great for the power of His blood that was shed for me. I am ready to forsake the world and live a changed life because I realize how much You love me. I love You, and I'm ready to live for You. If you made the decision to surrender your life to God and follow Jesus, I encourage you to spend time daily with Him in prayer and reading His Word and worshiping Him for who He is. Much will be revealed to you in this time with Him. Be a part of a community of believers to grow in the fullness of God and His Word, and join a church that does the same. Get involved and stay accountable to each other. Also, please let me know that you made this decision by emailing me at charliemike.me@gmail.com or message me on Facebook at facebook.com/charliemikeinternational.